talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brains Through Wrestling.
What's going on, everybody? This is Punchy along with Hammy and our guest, Adam Lucidi, here for another edition of Brains Through Wrestling. What's going on, guys?
Nothing. Thanks for having me.
Very welcome, sir.
I really like the get up here. I like the studio and whatnot.
Why, thank you, Adam.
I'm liking it a lot.
Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Or if you want to Skype us, it's at Brainstew Media on Skype. Talking all things professional wrestling. And what better way to transition to the biggest show of the year than introduce our guest, Adam Lucidi, in studio. Last week we had the very funny KP Burke, and everyone who listened to the show loved his appearance on the show. Adam, yeah. It not that many people openly admit that they love professional wrestling. I read your Twitter every Monday night. It's hysterical to watch. If you don't follow Adam already on Twitter, you should follow him at Adam Lucidi. Every Monday night at Raw, it's very funny to watch. Adam, what got you into this wonderful spectacle that we call professional wrestling?
Well, first of all, I got into it probably, it was the night of King of the Ring when Austin 316 was born. That was literally the first time I watched it. And so it was like right at the cusp of the Attitude Era, like right when it was starting.
I remember watching that on pirated pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I had an illegal box. The good old days. You young whippersnappers don't know what you got.
You and your Russian websites.
Yeah, with your Fire Sticks.
And your Cody's.
But I'm sure that there's probably illegal Fire Sticks out there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, I'm sure that there's like, but still, like the cable box, you had to like actually have like a code sometimes if you wanted to watch the Spice Channel.
You had to get the one that like you had to get the lower end cable box.
Yeah,
like I'm sure like Cablevision knew who had those boxes by who requested the crappy gray ones.
Yeah, really.
These cable boxes were used for two things: watching illegal streams of pay per views and porn. Just nothing but porn.
The Spice Channel. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, good old days with the Spice Channel.
And I want to apologize because you guys were talking about KP being on last episode. KP is probably the WrestleMania 17 of guests, and I will probably be the WrestleMania 32 of guests. So I apologize.
So slightly passable.
Yeah, I apologize in advance because KP's got all the bells and whistles. KP got the gimmick battle royal. He's got Big Show and Kane and Raven for the hardcore belt. What do I got?
You got the Lucidi Empire.
I got the, yeah. Yeah. And the Andre the Giant participation award.
the winner having a vest that looks like if they made the Road Warrior shoulder pads out of wolf bones.
Mm-hmm. And if they just slightly altered the Hardy Boys logo.
Yeah.
And I hate Baron Corbin. I know we're already getting off subject, and you guys, I can see you guys got the nice notes and everything here and like where you want this to go, but God damn it, I hate Baron Corbin.
He really is the worst.
He seriously, I said this the other night, he has the body and the hair of a rotting scarecrow. he seriously looks like that kid that like you went to high school with that would like buy the cigarettes for the younger kids.
Yeah.
And then end up having sex with like a lot of the band chicks, like a girl like played the clarinet, like Baron Corbin would have sex with her.
And then 20 years later, Baron Corbin is the weird creepy guy still going to shows.
Yeah, I hate Baron Corbin. Okay, let's get back on track.
Now that we established that,
yeah,
now we know Enzo's favorite outcome of WrestleMania 32. WrestleMania 32,
and you can't teach that.
God, that was so good.
Yeah. WrestleMania 32, the single biggest show WWE has ever had, selling out AT&T Stadium with 101,000 strong, which technically is about 94 if we're really counting ticket stubs here, because a report came out that only 94,000 people were actually there, not 101,000. WrestleMania 32, What are your thoughts on the show, just from a fan's perspective? Do you envy the people who actually went to the show? Well, and did you want to go? Were you happy with it? What was your initial impression of it?
I mean, it's WrestleMania, so even if it's a shitty WrestleMania, it's still going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, even if it sucked, it's just, like, the crowd, like, a bad WrestleMania, the crowd makes it better anyway.
Well, it also depends on what city.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, oh yeah, I mean, let's face it, Northeast WrestleMania is much better than, like,
Chicago WrestleMania.
Yeah. Better than LA WrestleMania.
We said last week, if you want to go to watch a wrestling show, you have to go to Chicago, you got to go to New York, and you got to go to Philadelphia. Those are the three top cities where you have to see a wrestling show.
Oh my God.
Well, Pittsburgh started being like that too. Like, because I went to the Royal Rumble in Pittsburgh, and I have never seen or heard a crowd the way that they were that night at the Royal Rumble. What was that? 2-3 years? When Daniel Bryan wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, when... who won that one? Batista won.
Batista won that.
Batista.
CM Punk's last night with the company.
Yep. And proudest moment of my life, because I started a We Want Kurt Angle chant during...
Oh, that's right, Pittsburgh, your boy Kurt Angle.
Yeah, my best friend and Olympic gold medalist hero, Kurt Angle.
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
And then a few months later, I started a small titty master chant during Extreme Rules for Dean Ambrose. So nowhere near as good as you.
I'd like to think that when I went to WrestleMania 20 and The Undertaker came out, I started the first Undertaker chant, but that's just me trying to satisfy my own self. I didn't start any chants. So thoughts on WrestleMania 32 as a show. Mike, what would you say is your highest moment of the show and the lowest moment of the show for you?
Overall, the beginning, the show as a whole, it reminds me of the opening part of Mick Foley's theme.
Okay, so a car crash, not that good.
Yeah, it was like it had its moments, like nowhere near as good as the last two. Like, the last two WrestleManias, they did some weird magic and made it better than it should have been based on the build.
WrestleMania 30, you had the story of Daniel Bryan overcoming the authority.
Yeah.
And Cesaro. WrestleMania 31, you had the epic beatdown Roman Reigns got at the hands of Lesnar and the surprise of Seth Rollins cashing in.
Mm-hmm. And this year, they didn't have the cash in to bail them out of another Roman Reigns.
And they also didn't have a lot of the talent to bail them out either.
Yeah, that those injuries hit them at the worst possible time. And the card shows. Because apparently what was actually supposed to happen, had Rollins not got hurt, Reigns was supposed to beat Rollins at Survivor Series, and Rollins eventually was supposed to face Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because they started planting those seeds.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Rollins being like a spoiled little brat, and Triple H being like, you know,
tired of him.
Yeah. Like, he was the dad in the relationship.
Yeah. Oh, our son.
Yeah.
With that weird blonde streak in his hair.
Son, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like, that's going to be the tagline of the whole feud.
And then you'd have heard Triple H going, "Relax, Cruella de Rollins."
That would be funny.
God, I'm just thinking right now, the pop Seth Rollins is going to get when he comes back is going to be out of this world.
He's going to be a face.
He's going to be an absolute face.
Even if they try to make him a heel, he's going to be a face.
And even if he completely shits on everything WWE does and the crowd, the fans are going to eat it up because they love Seth Rollins.
Him winning that Slammy Award and coming out and being like trolling the fans in a heel way was fantastic.
Like how Kevin Owens does it. And people just love Kevin Owens, even though he is technically a heel. But he's a really damn good, smart heel.
With Kevin Owens, he's got the credibility with the internet crowd. Just based off his work before joining WWE.
Well, I love Owens, just the way
his Twitter
just
game,
just his Twitter game and his the way that he handled. Like, I forget what it was. I think it was a couple weeks ago when they were doing the audience was doing the wave during one of his matches. And he got on a mic and he just yelled, "If you like Michael Cole's commentary, do the wave," and they all stopped. That's amazing. He would be amazing at shutting down a heckler at a comedy show.
You guys should just hire Kevin Owens to just come and shit on the crowd at your next shows.
But Monkey, I like the spot during the ladder match when he was like DDT'd into the ladder. I thought Owens was dead. He sold that so well.
Oh, I thought he was too.
Like, I really want there to be an extended feud on the main roster between him and Sami Zayn.
There has to be. That's what I think. What they should have did was it should have been Kalisto, Ryback, and then everybody else in a United States title match, and then have Zayn and Owens for the Intercontinental belt.
Although I think they're gonna save those two for SummerSlam.
That could be. Yeah, I could see that.
By the way, just an example of Owens' Twitter game. Someone messaged him, "You need to change your Twitter handle. Someone ain't the champ no longer." Just saying. So his response: "My handle doesn't say anything about being champ. You absolute idiot. You mean my bio? Just saying, idiot."
So I want to bring up the first clip we have of WrestleMania 32, and
oh boy.
Unfortunately, we're going to start low, but we're going to bring it back up here. And the low point is the main event. The main event of WrestleMania is supposed to be the showcase of the entire show and the reason why you watch the damn show. And unfortunately, it was the lowest point of the entire show because, A, we all knew what was happening. We all knew what the outcome was. We knew Reigns was going in and becoming champion. And we knew, I think the most enjoyable part of this match, to me personally, was the crowd completely shitting all over Roman Reigns.
Yeah, they knew it was happening. And what instead of fixing the build to make Reigns more interesting and likable to the crowd, they're like, F it, we're just going to mute the crowd mics.
So I have the final minutes, the final seconds of Triple H versus Roman Reigns from their match at WrestleMania 32 this past Sunday. Just try to, again, this video was taken from WWE.com after the pay-per-view. So this is after they did all the audio editing, which we'll get into in a couple seconds here. But here's how WrestleMania 32 ended.
Yeah.
With a sledgehammer. Spear by Reigns. Cover. Hooks the leg. Reigns is the champion. Reigns is
They made sure that the women and children in the crowd were what you heard and not the massive amount of people booing.
Well, they cranked his music too.
Oh yeah, you could hear the editing trickery that happened with this. They pumped his music in the replay. They muted the booze. They probably pumped in a little crowd cheering too.
Oh yeah, they did.
Because this is not what I heard when I watched the show live as it happened.
What's funny is that they gave WCW shit way back in the day for doing the same thing with Goldberg, piping in the Goldberg chants.
And yet they're doing the same exact thing with Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Pumping in crowd cheers.
They should just embrace it. Just
they're pumping in the crowd cheers like it's a Seahawks home game.
Oh, the 12th man.
Hey, listen, the 12th man uses Bose audio, okay?
Yeah, well, if not, then they get fined. I want to also bring up the reason why we brought up audio editing was, well, I think you should just listen for yourself here.
Before you play this, look at Triple H's face in this screen grab. He looks like he knows. He knows that shit is going to be bad in his face here.
He's like, this is the face a man makes where he's like, oh, the crowd is not going to like this guy. They're going to eat him up. And first off, just speaking as a man here, Stephanie McMahon looked amazing.
Oh, yeah.
During this whole entrance scene. And her speech before Triple H's entrance, I think she was talking to the internet there directly. Yeah. Talk about how you belong to us, now bow down to us. I'm like, wow. I actually tweeted out, and I said, wow, she's really talking to the IWC right here. They were not happy with the outcome of this match. They weren't happy with the build to this match. And let me just play this now. This is Roman Reigns' entrance at WrestleMania 32, and you could just tell. If for anyone who watched the show live, it was overwhelming boos.
Yeah.
As soon as this music hit.
And they didn't even give him anything like awesome for his intro or his entrance.
No.
You know what I mean? They gave it. It's like they spent all the budget on Triple H's and they were like,
And the New Day.
Okay. Which we'll get to that because that I am furious about that New Day entrance.
Here we go. Here's Roman Reigns' entrance. I mean, you can hear the audio just fading right there. You can hear the editing going on behind the scenes here in the video. WWE absolutely messed with the audio, turned down the boos.
JJ made a point, like the booking for a lot of these matches ruined some of the matches.
It sounds like I'm in a haunted house. on all these.
Ooh. Ooh. Not a single cheer there. And you can even see some of the audience members just like going.
There's
like,
a clap. I see a clap right there.
There's one lone clap.
Here's the thing, though.
This is how he has to start his day at work. Think about this. This is how he starts his work day.
Roman Reigns could be coming to the ring wearing a hashtag push Cesaro shirt, and the crowd would still mercilessly boo him at this point.
You can hear in the background, they're still booing him.
Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin could endorse him publicly in Texas, and they would still say, no, fuck Roman Reigns.
Well, they gave him some fireworks. I forgot about that.
Huh. Oh, yeah, and when he won the title, like, AT&T Stadium, like, erupted in fireworks all around. Like, oh, my God, he overcame a huge obstacle. No, like, anyone who doesn't watch wrestling, like my girlfriend, for example, brand new fan to pro wrestling. She's only seen maybe 4 matches ever, and she even said, oh, this match is really boring. To the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, plus two, I think that the main event, it was like, it went up at like a little bit before 11, right?
Yeah, they went over like 45 minutes.
They went over big
minutes.
Time.
Yeah, they did.
And those people have been sitting there for how long already?
6 hours at
least. Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'd be booing whatever at the end too.
I mean, not to mention, right before the main event, they had the filler gap of The Rock and John Cena returning to bury the Wyatt, and not even to face the Wyatt, flat out burial of the Wyatt family.
For all the people, you know, and I want to point out, like, for all the people, like, Cena would never do that to somebody. Allow him to beat somebody in 6 seconds like that. Especially somebody who's being made to.
I don't know about that.
All right. In 6 seconds.
I don't know about
that. I don't know about that.
All right.
I think if Vince told him to, he'd be like, okay.
No, he would argue about the 6 seconds thing, but if Vince's like, all right, well, you're going to do a regular length match, but you're going to kick out of every finisher and signature move. Okay, boss.
Yeah, you just said in the chat room, Mike, the segment where Eric Rowan was emasculated in 6 seconds because film producers wouldn't cover The Rock's insurance policy if he went longer.
Yeah, that was the story behind the length of that match.
I think the original plan was to have a full-length Rock match.
Yeah, and they're like, no, we're not going to cover your insurance if you do a full match because the last time he did a match at WrestleMania, he tore a pectoral muscle. Mm-hmm.
Twice in a lifetime. Sorry.
Yeah, twice in a lifetime.
I'm just surprised that with the Wyatts being buried so deep, they haven't struck oil yet. I'm serious. I can't. But they turned it around on Raw.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like it's I don't know.
I
love the Wyatts.
One faction that has been completely destroyed by booking has gone after another faction that has been completely destroyed by booking.
Now wait a minute. Now I can see things that's going on in this. Chat room. And first of all, I see you, JJ Stoner, and I love you. But this high New Day entrance bullshit. That is no.
We're going right to New Day. All right.
I will go right into New Day.
All right, fuck the break. Let's just go right to New Day.
This infuriated me. The New Day, on it. Yeah, seriously.
New Day rocks.
Okay.
Do it, Adam. Come on.
No, I do think that they rock. I do think that they rock. Okay? But the fact that they came out of a giant box of cereal and didn't ride to the ring on unicorns or have the entire ramp covered with unicorns, like how they did that one WrestleMania with all the John Cenas, and and John Cena ran down. Like they could have had all the unicorns and their horns like come to a point, and they could have all just danced right through there. I don't understand it.
Okay. Counterpoint, though. The vest they were wearing were Power Rangers themed.
No, they were Dragon Ball Z. That's another thing that pisses me off. I don't even give a shit about Dragon Ball Z.
Because what they were wearing looked also. Listen, I don't watch a lot of Dragon Ball Z, but it looked a lot like the White Rangers. Like
they were wearing.
They did.
They were wearing Saiyan armor from Dragon Ball Z. Not to get even more nerdy than I already am here, the New Day came out like Xavier Woods had his hair spiked like Goku and Vegeta.
To me, it looked more like the White Rangers like armor piece from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
It did kind of look like that, but I wanted them to ride unicorns to the ring so bad.
Yeah, unicorns.
Even if it was like those animal things that they have at like the malls where they
where they're like, they look like animals, but they're like little four-wheelers. That would have been hilarious. That fucking thing.
As awesome as the box entrance was, yeah, you know what? I'll agree with Adam. They should have had unicorns.
Even if it was like those things on wheels. Like, could you imagine them just riding them slowly to the ring and like just bobbing a little bit while they're riding them? That'd be hilarious.
There you go. I have it up now for those of you who don't know what we're talking about here. Xavier Woods' hair right here, you can see spiked up like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, and they're wearing Saiyan armor, which is... I love the New Day, and I liked the whole... I agree with you, Adam, now that you pointed us out that they should have done the whole unicorn fiasco instead of coming out in a serial, but I think that was creative and management saying, okay, we don't want to risk too much injury here or whatever. But
no,
when they came out in the Saiyan armor, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I just marked out pretty hard for them.
But no, how do they not want to risk injury? They put them... in a giant box, and that means that all three of them had to flip it on its side. That's what they had to do. They could have just rode those little things like down to the ring. That's all they could have did.
And they're worried about injuries. They put Dean Ambrose in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Okay, very good point. Touché there, Mike.
The New Day just let me down. I'll just say that. I could have. It should have been, because they're over the top already as it is. And they're, you know, very flamboyant and, you know, in your face on a regular Monday or SmackDown. So for WrestleMania, it should have been completely over the top. And, like, I'm talking confetti and riding unicorns. That's really all I wanted.
So guest 44019 is not agreeing with your disdain for the entrance.
Who is guest 440?
I don't know, but change your username.
He says, Bootios contains 12% unicorn, best of both worlds.
But I wanted
them
to ride it.
Very good point.
You know what? Where's the... Can I see the chat?
Where also are you? Have 100% positivity.
100%.
Let's see.
And 0% booty.
You're not even putting a name or a picture to your face, you coward. How dare you?
Adam's cutting a promo.
How dare you? I said... Oh, see, JJ said the same thing about the unicorns. Yeah. Should have been unicorns. That's the name of this episode. Should have been unicorns.
I think the highlight of the entire New Day segment, they end up losing their match to the League of Nations.
Adam Lucini.
I think the highlight for the New Day at WrestleMania came afterward when Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick Foley, and Shawn Michaels came out, you know, beat up the League of Nations, threw him out of the ring. The New Day came back in. And, well, this happened. For those of you listening on the audio-only podcast, they are getting the three legends to dance with them in the middle of the ring. Big E going to Mick Foley, Kofi Kingston going to Shawn Michaels, Xavier Woods trying to get Austin to dance.
How did Shawn Michaels even see this? Because his eyes have been merging together into one eye for the past 7 years. God, Big E is hilarious.
Yeah, he is.
The New Day is the greatest thing about WWE right now.
I just noticed Mick Foley is dancing like Baloo the Bear from the Jungle Book, trying to scratch his back on a tree.
What do you think Steve thinks of that hair? Steve's actually thirsty.
That
made me bark out a little bit because I knew what was coming afterward. This Stone Cold Stunner to Xavier Woods. And of course, New Day looks surprised as hell. I guess you're right about that. What a great moment at WrestleMania.
And they had Stone Cold's beer. I'd love to try Stone Cold's beer. That's what he drank at.
See how he had the product placement right in the camera, his Broken Skull Ranch beer.
Yeah.
So, if we're going to transition to other matches at WrestleMania, let's just go over the let's go over our personal high points of the card. What was your personal favorite moment at WrestleMania?
The ending. That was a hacky thing to say. No, I liked the Divas match what is it now? Women American. The Women American match. I like that. The triple threat.
That was the best match of the night. Best moment, though, I know what Hammy's picks of me already, but my favorite moment was Zack Ryder finally getting a moment.
That was I think the shocker of
that
the
night. That surprised me, because you realize his other WrestleMania moment was getting kicked in the balls by Eve Torres.
Yep.
But then, ironically enough, he got kicked in the balls less than 24 hours later, figuratively, by losing to The Miz. So,
This is my personal favorite, and let's just get this out of the way. The spot of the year. We will not see another spot as crazy as this.
Before we do that, though, I was told to bring up Frank the Clown getting a beer. Since
oh God, who is that? Who is that?
Guest.
Fucking guest. Don't even start me on Frank the Clown, because I'll seriously throw this microphone through this screen, and this looks really expensive, and I don't want to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Frank the Clown, play this clip before I start thinking about Frank the Clown even more.
Oh, Shane O'Mac is on top of Hell in a Cell.
Shane, don't do it.
You can't do this. Shane,
no. No.
Oh, my God.
Damn it, Shane. Stop it. Shane, don't do that.
By God, he's broken
the head. No. Oh, my God. Oh, God. No.
You will never see another thing that crazy in WWE.
Shane McMahon is a freaking lunatic. Like, he's that crazy millionaire, billionaire who will be like, oh, I'm going to go cliff jumping. Like, that's what Shane McMahon is. Like, it's fantastic. And I like the entrance, bringing out his kids.
Well, I think that is the only reason why he wanted to come back for WrestleMania, is because his kids are old enough to see him wrestle. They wanted to see him at least wrestle one match, and that's why he...
I thought that was the Mean Street Posse at first that came out with him. The three kids. But I'm glad that he brought his kids out, because
they got to see their dad jump 30 feet off a cage into a table.
Like, that and I get to put their stupid faces to all their stupid names now, because it's like Declan, Kenyon, and Rogan. So I can finally see what they look like.
The J.J. Stoner. Call with his notes, man. Ugh.
Damn it, Michael.
Michael.
You know, hands down, the spot of the night, the craziest moment of the night, because I don't think anyone's ever climbed up to the new version of Hell in a Cell. I think that's the first time I've seen anyone climb up to the cage.
Well, no, I think CM Punk and Heyman did a couple years ago.
No, but actually come off the top of the new cage.
Well, yeah. he stayed up there, I think. I think Heyman and Punk went up there.
Like, as part of a match.
Yeah, they went up there, but they didn't fall.
Yeah, no.
I think Ryback did, too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oof.
But The Undertaker defeats Shane McMahon. If we're going by the storyline, on Monday Night Raw, surprisingly, Vince gave Shane control of the show. And that's what led to...
Because logic.
Yeah, because wrestling logic. Hashtag WWE logic.
Well, let's see if you can do this.
All right, you're pissing me off right away. You do it. So Shane got control of Monday Night Raw. The main event saw number one contender match, fatal four-way between Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, and originally Sami Zayn, but of course Kevin Owens became Kevin Owens.
One point I want to make before we go into this, what I hope happens for next year's WrestleMania is get Cole and King out of the commentary team and put Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo.
That guy is really good. I really like that, the SmackDown guy.
I do like Corey Graves a lot, too. I think we can all agree with you, Falcone, that this is your personal favorite moment.
This is from the day after.
This is from Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania. Punchy's favorite all-time wrestler makes a surprise return.
Hammond just ruined the surprise by saying that.
I've just been informed that Sami Zayn is not medically cleared. Therefore, he will not be competing.
Kevin Owens bowing.
However, per Shane McMahon, this still will be a fatal four-way match, and your new competitor will now be...
Pause to let them play the music.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good pop.
Really good pop.
But wait, according to Vince McMahon, he doesn't click with the fans.
He doesn't connect. It might be because he's swass.
And where was he coming from?
Yeah.
Where did he walk in from?
He didn't come in from the back.
No.
He went around the Tron.
Jason Statham.
And Michael Falcone jizzed his pants after this.
We never alter the deal. My name is Champ Chelios. We're Stallone. We need to make an Expendables movie.
I like when... Okay, so he rips the suit off. But then look, he...
He keeps the glasses on.
He acts like he throws the sunglasses off, but they're still attached to his face.
R.I.P. that suit.
But yes, Punchy's favorite wrestler, Cesaro, makes a triumphant return to WWE programming the Monday night after WrestleMania. And before we go to break, we're going to lead with this question. Was the Monday Night Raw after Mania once again better than the show itself?
And I'll point out one thing before we go. JJ, y'all getting Mania and Raw out of the way so we can talk about Nakamura the rest of the night, right?
We very well could be doing that. We will be talking about NXT after the break here, but first we are going to head to break. Joined in the studio by Adam Lucidi. What a great first segment, Powder. Loving Adam Lucidi in the chat, on the show today. Sorry, I'm stumbling. I'm trying to get the video fixed and working to go to break. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. We will be right back right after this. Come along and take a hit from the ball. Put the blunt down just for a second. Don't get me wrong, it's not a new method. Inhale, exhale. Just got an ounce in the mail. I like a blunt or a big fat comb, but my double barrel bomb is getting me stoned.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
All right, we are back. And I guess you guys can tell by the song we have playing now, which is the NXT theme of Shinsuke Nakamura, that we're going to be talking about NXT TakeOver, which may have been the show of the weekend.
I completely agree with that.
Like, was there a bad match in that? I don't think there was. It's first one in a while where there wasn't a match where you're like, eh.
You have an early match of the year candidate, too, with Nakamura and Sami Zayn.
Yeah. Like, match of the last few years candidate. Like, holy crap.
Boy, did those two deliver in an epic match.
It's the best Nakamura match I've seen since Nakamura versus Kevin Steen.
Oh my god! I keep forgetting that WWE's roster now has a lot of people that face each other in Ring of Honor and a lot of the NBC. Like it's tough to like absorb all this now because they have all this great talent. But wait, they wrestled back in the day too. They have so much great talent there.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. Boom, 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 boom.
So like, but if you look at the NXT roster, it's like. Like, just mix New Japan and Ring of Honor / former TNA guys now at this point, too, because Samoa Joe is there for now. Austin Aries is there.
For now.
AJ Styles is on the main roster. Gallows and Anderson are debuting soon. I'm sure Eric Young's going to sign at some point.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on NXT TakeOver right off the bat. Like I just said, early match of the year candidate, Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. I'm already calling that my personal match of the year so far because I've yet to see anything else from WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA even. I've yet to see anybody else compete with that match.
And here's one thing too. Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura, the longest match of the night.
Yeah, that and Bayley is the only two matches I watched from TakeOver, actually, because I didn't get to watch it live, so I went back and
you watched Bayley matches just for the wrestling or for other reasons?
Well, both.
Okay.
But yeah, Bayley and that Sami Zayn match, those were the two, because I don't even, what else was even on the card?
Balor versus Samoa Joe for the title,
See, I feel like that's happened already a lot.
It was a street fight, and there was some blood in that match.
Oh, okay.
Like, to the point where they kept stopping at the clean-off Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and the fans, rightfully so, were chanting, fuck PG, and let them fight, and let him bleed. Like, the fans were ruthless at the doctors trying to clean up Samoa Joe.
Also, you had Austin Aries facing Baron Corbin.
Oh, Baron Corbin.
Yep.
But you said that chant, what was the chant? Fight Forever. Yeah.
Was from Sane versus Nakamura.
Which I don't think, have we ever heard that chant before, ever?
It's a great chant.
That's a good one.
And then American Alpha won the tag titles over the Revival.
Oh, okay.
American Alpha is going to probably, if they ever bring back Kurt Angle, they're the perfect team.
That'd be the new team Angle?
Yeah.
Well, I'll make a call to Kurt Angle and see what he wants to do.
Do it. You're
He's my best friend.
Pittsburgh. Guys are both Pittsburgh boys.
He's my best friend. He wished me happy birthday once.
Tell him to come out of retirement.
He's coming.
By the way, sidebar, Adam, who are some of the wrestlers who have wished you happy birthday?
Kurt Angle and Titus O'Neil. And they're both very weird stories as to why they did. Kurt Angle, someone just got me one of those video celebrity messages and just gave him a whole bunch of information about me and was like, here you go. This is what you need to know about this guy. And then he wished me happy birthday. But then the type... So that one's not as fun, but I still, to this day, he's my best friend. But the Titus O'Neil one is a really weird story because apparently Titus O'Neil wants to bang my aunt. And,
what?
Titus O'Neil wants to bang my aunt. And they live a town apart from each other in Florida, I guess. And they have each other's phone numbers. And my aunt just texts Titus O'Neil and was like, hey, can you wish my nephew happy birthday? It's his 29th birthday. And the funniest thing about that whole story is... I'm a 29-year-old man, and Uncle Titus said to me...
Uncle Titus.
Well, yeah, I'm going to call him Uncle Titus. Why would I not call him Uncle Titus? Uncle Titus said to me, Adam, keep growing. Uncle Titus, I'm 29, so I think I'm already done. I think I'm done growing, Uncle Titus. So, yeah, and now he's...
Uncle Titus.
Yeah. Oh, they're even saying it in the thing? Yeah. It's my Uncle Titus. Yeah.
Uncle Titus.
Uncle Titus.
He does. He wants to bang my aunt. And I mean, I would be all for it because, you know.
Random guest in the chat room while we were going to break. Trolling Lucidi is mandatory, but being, quote, effing guest makes it so much better. So that's who you are for now, an effing guest.
Yeah, that has to be someone from Periscope. I know it is. And you know what? This is watching you. He'll make you humble. Watching you, fucking guest. You did say it's uncensored, right?
Yes.
Okay, fucking guest.
A little too late now.
Well, I just wanted to make sure.
I wasn't worried about saying fucking guess. I wanted to make sure it was uncensored because I was showing the sheik.
Relax, Nick Furious.
I don't want you guys to get in trouble.
Break it back.
So NXT, am I right, guys?
Yeah.
I'll say this. I while I was watching NXT TakeOver, I was with my girlfriend, and she watched the Nakamura Zayn match, and she said, and I quote, out of all the matches you've seen, this one is by far my favorite one, and my favorite wrestler right now is Nakamura. Just the way he handled himself on the ring, the way he was using his body and taunting Zayn throughout the match. She's like, I was captivated and watch this guy's match. She loved him.
He's very like Jack Sparrow-esque and his like
it is
his hair know, too. His hair is pretty
awesome.
He's
just like, you know, very
very charismatic.
Yeah. He uses his body and just like his whole, like either that or he's drunk. I can't tell which one it is.
His entrance is one of the better ones from New Japan.
Yeah.
And
he's going to be a big deal down there. Well, even in the
main roster.
And even inevitably when he does make it to the main roster and is buried by Vincent and creative.
If he can make his English even a tad bit better, like he'll be the most high profile Japanese wrestler up on the main roster in a while.
Of all time, even, probably.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Funaki.
Indeed.
Which I still have a Kai and Tai t-shirt.
Yes.
That I wear.
How can you not like Kai and Tai?
Yeah. Indeed. Evil.
They choppy choppy.
So what else happened over this past WrestleMania weekend was the WWE Hall of Fame.
Sting, I'm not crying.
Are we excited for anyone else that was inducted to the Hall of Fame besides the Freebirds and Sting? And Jacqueline, maybe?
Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dizzle. He's now a Hall of Famer in everything but music.
Sting. Poor Sting.
Had to have his career ended by Seth Rollins.
Yeah, thanks, Seth Rollins.
Hey, you can't do the curb stomp because of the possibility that someone might get hurt, but keep doing that turnbuckle powerbomb that ended a legend's career.
And plus, he lost to Triple H and Seth Rollins. He didn't even have any
He didn't
wins.
Have a victory in WWE. Uh-uh.
No, he did, just not on pay-per-view.
Just the way Vince likes it.
Ah, he wasn't one of my creations.
He's a WCW guy.
He refused.
What? So here we go. Here is Sting making his retirement announcement from the Hall of Fame this past Saturday night.
Sure. Until now. On this very night.
I always forget how weird Sting's face
looks. At this very moment, I'm going to finish my wrestling career under the WWE umbrella, and I'm so proud of that. I am officially going to retire tonight.
Shocking reaction to the crowd at immediate.
Now, can I say, nobody in their 50s should have a soul patch.
See, they
looking at you, Paul Tuttle Sr.
They were really respectful about it, and they didn't, like, do the one more match or no. Either that or they just don't care.
Seth Rollins nearly killed you. We get it.
He gets the bat and the glasses. Yeah, you're right. Sting looks so much better with glasses on.
Yeah, because he has like really deep eye sockets or something. I don't know what it is.
I think the funniest Sting moment, by the way, is in TNA when Jeff Hardy was so drunk.
Oh, I just want you to know this isn't goodbye. It's just see you later.
Ooh, John Q. John Q reference.
Can you find that, Hammy? Sting in TNA when he had to, like, forcibly pin an inebriated Jeff Hardy?
Maybe, yeah. Like, at least we'll tweet it out after a show.
Yeah,
so
when we tweet it out, guys, you should watch the video. Sting was so pissed, like, visibly pissed that Jeff Hardy was that hammered.
Yeah.
I think so was everyone else that Jeff Hardy was hammered. But this leads to a question about Sting. We know his legacy. He is a sure-bound Hall of Famer, at least in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. He's now a Hall of Famer in WWE's eyes. Did WWE, here's my question, did WWE fuck up his run with the company?
We can
debate over, you know, was it too late for him to come to WWE? Was it too little too late to get the Taker dream match, which by all accounts we'll never get? Do we think that WWE royally screwed up his run with the company when he finally decided to come just a little over 2 years ago now?
No, here's the thing, though. Like, with Sting's run in WWE, like, he debuted in his 50s. Like, that's the age when you're putting over younger talent. So him losing to Seth Rollins, I have no problem with. I had a problem with him losing to Triple H.
I have no problem with him losing to Seth Rollins.
Yeah, there was no reason for him to feud with Triple H whatsoever.
That, if he was going to lose to another older wrestler, it should have been The Undertaker.
He should have never feuded with Triple H because it was weird. It was like a awkward build-up. It was an even dumber ending to the match. But I think Rollins, I liked his little feud with Rollins, but I think that he should have also feuded with the Wyatts before he...
A lot of people should feud with the Wyatts because Bray Wyatt has that... He has it. I hate saying that, like, the it factor. It sounds kind of hacky, but Bray Wyatt does have the it factor.
Yeah.
His character is surreal. His promos are fantastic. He's a great worker. And I love watching Bray Wyatt on screen, even if he is being buried immensely right now. But, you know, I love watching Bray Wyatt. He should have worked with Sting. His work with The Undertaker was great.
Yeah. The weight of the dirt from Vince's shovel is holding me down.
It's a pretty good Bray Wyatt impression. Bray Wyatt, what do you think of how Vince and Creative have been treating you?
They pushed me on with Braun Strowman. Even I can't make him seem interesting.
Then Luke Harper just yeah.
Seriously, how can WWE get a better character right now than Bray Wyatt? I've said it for forever now. Bray Wyatt is the love child of Undertaker and Jake Roberts' character.
Yeah.
He's the best combination of all of them. He has the potential to be a humongous player in WWE, but they're not using him right. Use him fucking right, Vince.
He hasn't won any of his feuds, really, except with Ambrose and Ryback, I think.
Yeah. Then that's when they were either protecting Wyatt or, like, trying to make Ambrose less popular by losing to Bray Wyatt.
Well, he should have never... The Wyatt family should have never lost to Undertaker and Kane at the... No. At, what was it? Survivor Series?
Yeah, no, that shouldn't
have
happened.
That was so stupid.
I like their feud they had with The Shield when that was still a thing.
Yeah.
Effing guest in the chat room, the it is his ability to roll his eyeballs into the back of his skull. Do you mean The Undertaker? Because I don't think Bray Wyatt does that.
Shut the hell up, guest. you don't
effing
know.
Guest.
Lucidi's cutting promos on people.
Get out of here.
I wonder if Bray Wyatt wakes up and realizes, wow, it's a good thing that they're handling Luke Harper horribly because they could really do this Wyatt family thing without me and have Harper as the lead guy.
Well, they just, I mean, the thing about the Wyatts is they don't really need, well, I think that they should have made this a little bit more clear, is they don't need wins or losses or championships. Like, they should just want chaos and just bring in hell. That's what they really should be doing.
I do find it funny though. Harper is the most decorated person on that stable.
I love Harper.
He's fantastic.
Harper is the one that, like, does the greatest things with his characters. Just the smallest things that he does.
And not to mention in the ring too. Like, he's 7 feet tall. He should not be doing. Have the ability to do the things he does in a ring.
Again, another indie guy.
Yeah, I love Harper. Harper's probably my favorite. I like Harper probably more than I do Wyatt.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Oh, God.
We did lose focus here, but we got to get back to Sting in a second. But
I did mention this, too. I know I'm a Cesaro mark. I get it. But his, like, feud on the B-shows with Cesaro produced some fantastic matches.
Yeah.
If you give Bray Wyatt the right
No, I'm talking about Harper.
Yeah, that whole stable.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Wyatt family peaked when they were feuding with The Shield.
Yeah. And The Shield, I can't wait for their eventual reunion.
Oh, it's going to happen, I bet.
But Ambrose needs to win the title first before it happens. Like, they need to say these are three guys who've been world champion.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do something with The Shield and the Bullet Club somewhere down the line.
Holy.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
be.
There's so much potential there.
Like this Ambrose. But, oh God, could you imagine?
Throw the Wyatts in there too. Like,
no,
this
no,
could
no,
be
just,
Survivor
no,
Series.
Just the Shield, and well, I guess they'll call it Balor Club.
Yeah.
Or the Wyatts versus a Balor Club.
The talent that would be in that ring at any given moment.
Or the League of Nations versus the Balor Club. Oh my God.
The most,
that's sarcasm.
The second most talented person.
That's if the League of Nations yeah. is a stable then.
The second most talented person in the League of Nations was just kicked out of the League of Nations.
Yeah, poor Barat.
By the least talented person in the
I'm
stable.
Afraid
I'm
afraid I feel so bad. I like Barrett a lot.
Yeah, he's misused regularly, or they finally start pushing him and then he gets hurt.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I love that. I look forward to that every time he every Monday Night Raw. I looked forward to Bad News Barrett.
I'm going
to
hit it with a little bullhammer.
League of Nations will be good if, once they're all split up again, because that gives you three more heels for you know, the Intercontinental and all that stuff.
Now the
that
most
is until they feud with Cena.
Yeah. The most talented person in the League of Nations is Del Rio.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah,
I love Rusev. I love me some Rusev.
I love Rusev too. I loved when he had the potential to be the monster heel in the company. He had the potential to be the best powerhouse the company had. And then of course, a feud with Cena changes everything.
Fucking John Cena.
I think the only person to recently survive a feud with John Cena is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I would think that. And Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Bryan won his feud with Cena, though. I don't think Cena's ever, like, since Daniel Bryan became, like, one of the main guys, I don't think Cena's beaten Daniel Bryan in a match.
Yeah.
And we said this last week, too. I don't think we can name, like, less than five fingers, like, people who have beaten Cena clean in the past 10 years.
Less guys than Cena has moves, right, guys? Ha ha.
All right. But getting back to what I originally mentioned here, Sting. Would you agree that WrestleMania 31 should have been the dream match that we all wanted, Sting Taker?
We're not going to get it next year.
Never getting it. It's gone.
It's never happening.
But WWE had the potential to give wrestling, the wrestling industry, because not just WWE fans, not just WCW fans, wrestling fans all over the world have talked about the Sting Taker dream match since for over 20 years now, almost.
They should have thrown money at Sting to get him during the invasion angle.
I mean, I understand. Now I understand why Sting never came over. Because even when he finally did come over, he was misused. He wasn't used properly. He jobbed to Triple H. He did the whole WCW, what was the B team. They were the losers. And
wow.
They just totally fucked up Sting. In every conceivable way possible, they screwed up his character. They screwed up his music, his persona, his feud. I don't mind it that he jobbed to Rollins, but with Triple H, they should have given us a dream match. Yeah, but we're never going to see it again because he retired at the Hall of Fame this past Saturday night. Switching gears back to WrestleMania 32, what was your favorite match of the night? Should we just let's give WrestleMania the grade, and then we're gonna take a break, and then we come back, we could discuss more of what happened on the Monday Night Raw the night after. But we're coming up on a break now. So, what was your favorite match of the night?
It's either gonna be the IC title match or the women's title match.
Yeah, women's title match for me.
Like I'd say both of those. I'll just say both of those. They were the best two matches on the card.
I'm going to agree. The match of the night for me was hands down the women's title match. And bravo to WWE finally getting rid of the tramp stamp belt, bringing back the proper women's title. I mean, we can get into the whole, you know, sexism and WWE thing. We could get a little political here, but WWE needed to bring back the women's division, the true women's division, and then bringing back the women's title finally gave the women the legitimacy in the WWE. And bravo for giving the three ladies from NXT 15, 16-minute match time. Bravo, WWE, for doing the right thing for women's wrestling.
I've got one issue here, though. They gave Ambrose Lesnar 13 minutes. They could have shaved time off of Taker Shane McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah, that Ambrose Lesnar match was disappointing.
They could have saved, you know, they could have like given some time from that match to Ambrose Lesnar. I said I felt it was 10 minutes too short.
Yeah. Then Ambrose brought out the baseball bat and a bar, Lucille. He brought Lucille out, and then nothing ended up coming out of it.
Yeah, nothing happened with that.
Made out with it.
There was no pee-pee pants city.
No pee-pee pants city. It's a shame.
No blood?
No blood.
Glenn was nowhere to be seen.
What did we say on the show, Mike? Last week, we said that Lesnar Ambrose is going to be a bloodbath. It should be an all-out war in the rain, and it really
wasn't.
And
they booked it horribly.
It was just like what you would see in a street fight on Monday Night Raw. It just wasn't. Yeah, it just wasn't great.
Like, I'm blaming creative for that one. Because if Lesnar and Ambrose were told, all right, here's 20 minutes, go at it, it would have been a much better match.
You can blade. You could do anything. You could do anything you want in the ring. Just go out there and give them a great match. And they dropped the ball with that one. Yeah. I was not impressed at all with Lesnar Ambrose, just because it could have been so much better than it was. Because I agree with you, Mike. The build between Lesnar and Ambrose was far better than any other match on the card.
Yeah.
They had the best build. Very disappointing.
WWE squandered an opportunity here. They had a chance to make Ambrose their next star for a main event next year.
Yeah.
Like, they had a massive... And they do that. Every time Ambrose gets on the cusp of getting there, they cut him off at the legs.
Well, they should have built it like, you know, just Lesnar beating the hell out of Ambrose and him just keep coming back from... He was done with one F5. You know what I mean?
Should have kicked out of the F5.
Yeah, he should have just beat the hell out of... Like, made Ambrose a bloody mess. And, like, it eventually just made it a sympathy pin. But...
I want to point out...
What was our booking last week? Like, it should have been like Austin at WrestleMania 13. Where Lesnar just was beating him to a bloody pulp. And before he passes out or whatever or gets knocked out, he just flips off Lesnar and just passes out.
Yeah, that would have been good.
So even in a losing effort, Ambrose still looked like the better person.
Goes down guns a-blazing.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
By the way, oh, boy, Roman Reigns. I'm looking at Payback, and it was supposed to be in the Prudential Center. And then they switched it with Extreme Rules. So Roman Reigns is getting booed either way because it's going to be in Illinois now.
Mm. Oh, that's two hostile cities in a row for Roman Reigns.
That's the two possible hostile cities. Yeah.
All right. So we took our favorite match, our least favorite match. What was the biggest letdown of the entire WrestleMania 32?
Okay. Well, biggest letdown? Let's see. Them just sticking with the script and having Reigns winning, you could say.
I honestly thought that when Stephanie got in the ring for a second, I thought that she was going to turn on Triple H. And I thought that would have been an interesting turn.
Why did you lose the title, bro?
No, I think it would have been good if... Stephanie turned on Triple H, and then, you know, next night on Raw, she just made it like, you know, this is my company. Triple H is trying to, you know, say that it's his. He's making the decisions. He picked Seth Rollins. I pick Roman Reigns.
Marital this problems on the air? Yeah.
This is the new face of the company. You know, this is my company, not Triple H.
I think they're slowly building towards a Reigns heel turn.
They should.
I hope. Well, they better build quickly because no one is interested in face Reigns.
If they're trying to make Roman Reigns be the most cheered guy on the roster, you're doing him a disservice by making him feud with AJ Styles.
Yeah. Well, anybody. Yeah. Having him feud with anybody.
Anybody in that four-way match, he's not getting cheered at all.
Yeah.
Effing guests in the chat room. Stephanie turns on Triple H and still gets speared by Roman. Perfect. That would have been good. My biggest letdown was the main event itself. I mean, I knew the outcome going into it, but the match could have been better. And, I give credit to Triple H. He did everything he could in the match. He did everything that he could to make Roman look good. But
Triple H and Roman Reigns are the same kind of wrestler. They need somebody else to carry them. Not carry them, but like... to run the match.
Well, last year Lesnar did a good job of carrying Reigns and making Reigns look decent and like people getting behind Reigns.
And I liked that. Like, no matter how hard he beat up Reigns, Reigns just smiles like, all right, keep it coming. That was great.
Carrying Reigns and then dumping him on the mat.
Yeah.
What was your pleasant surprise moment of WrestleMania 32?
Woo, woo, woo. You know.
Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder winning the IC title.
I think it could have. I think we should have gotten a full Rock match if that was the surprise. But when Rock pulled off his pulled off his pants and got in a gear or whatever. I know it sounds a little gay right there the way I just worded that. But when Rock revealed that he had his wrestling gear on, I'm like, oh shit, we're gonna get a Rock match here.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh. The biggest surprise went to one of the biggest letdowns of the show for me. But the biggest surprise was to see The Rock actually say, okay, I'm here, let's have a match.
Yeah.
That was my biggest surprise. And the biggest victory surprise was Zack Ryder, because that's the one I least expected to win.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
Your final thoughts on WWE muting the crowd mics for Roman Reigns' entrance?
I hate that they do that. They got to stop forcing things. You're not going to... If they're muting the crowd mics for Roman Reigns, it's not going to make people watch TV go, hey, they're not booing him as loudly as they were, as I remember.
Yeah, it's not going to trick us.
We're not idiots. That's what I don't like about them muting the crowd noise, is they think we're idiots when they do that. We're not idiots. Just let things happen organically. If Roman Reigns is getting booed organically, turn him heel. If someone's getting cheered organically, make them face. They can do that when it comes to, like, turning New Day face, but they can't do it when it comes to turning Cena or Roman Reigns heel.
Yeah, it's like they pick and choose, like, who they want organically to change, but not, you know.
Yeah, but not if it's their guy.
Yeah.
Real quick before we hit the break, the best moment of WrestleMania 32. Real quick.
Best moment. Well, I'll stick with the Ryder winning the title.
Adam.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, I'm going to panic, and I'm going to say The Rock shooting fire.
The worst moment of WrestleMania 32. Go, Mike.
Damn, yeah, I'm going to panic on here. The six-second burial of Eric Rowan.
Adam, the worst moment in your mind of WrestleMania 32.
I'm going to panic, I'm going to say Snoop Dogg singing.
Best moment, the women's match. The worst moment, the continuing burial of the Wyatt family. This is Brains to Wrestling. We will be right back with our final thoughts of the weekend and one of my most anticipated tag teams debuting on Monday Night Raw.
How you doing?
On Monday Night Raw. We'll be right back right after this.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brains Stew Wrestling.
Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to BrainStewMedia.com today. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
York, you slut.
Talking about all things professional wrestling, it's Brain Stew Wrestling.
What's up? We got three certified G's and bona fide studs, and you can't teach that. How you doing?
Welcome back to Brain Stew Wrestling.
I was gonna say, you should stick to the Bray Wyatt impression.
Yeah. I've lived in Jersey my whole life. I can't do a Jersey accent at all.
It just comes natural to you now.
Enzo and Cass debut on Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania.
If you picture your eyes,
what are your thoughts on this?
If you picture your eyes and listen to Enzo talk, you picture DDP.
They were awesome. I mean, I've always liked those two, and I really thought that they would be called up a lot sooner than they did.
It's funny you mention them because I think we've got some video.
We do.
I think just play the whole thing. It's spectacular.
So let's put this into context. On Monday Night Raw this past Monday, the Dudley Boys defeated the Usos in a tables match, and they decided they're going to just stay in the ring.
They're going to do a sit-in protest, which never, ever, ever leads to a debut of someone new.
Mm-mm. If anything, in real life, it leads to cops and pepper spray. But they were walking back towards the TitanTron when this happened.
They won the match. Yeah, they won the match. What's the deal? Go ask them, Byron. I'm good. Whoa.
And one of the biggest pops of the night.
Yeah, that was great. I didn't like how Cole. I didn't like Cole's tone during this.
Yeah, condescending Cole.
Yeah,
was back.
Are you kidding me? Like,
oh
you're.
God, they are here.
They like you're supposed to act
Ladies
surprised and shocked.
This is Enzo and Cass.
Like, put him over. JR would have flipped the fucking table.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got a sample of them,
again, Graves would have sold it better.
Some would say you're in for a treat. Like, no. You're supposed to...
Business just picked up!
Yeah.
You hear the how you doing check
of the size of Cass.
Cole's
I will admit, they have a lot of high energy.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they're oozing out of charisma.
What a debut. The crowd, rightfully so, were extremely loud and vocal in their support.
It sounds...
My name is Enzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
Got him in the palm of their hands already.
Oh, yeah.
His hair is in the...
This is Big Cass, and he's 7 foot
tall. Yeah, it looks like a chicken is just sitting on top of his head.
And people watching it were even like, who never heard of these guys, were like, these guys are just...
Bada boom! Realest guys in a room! How you doing?
It's good to see rapper Cena back.
they're like a lot more charismatic Crime Time.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is what Crime Time should have been.
Pause for a second. He called him a Smack Talker Skywalker, and he had a lightsaber for a hater. Who says that?
I am Smack Talker Skywalker, and I got a Mike Saber for a hater.
Mike Saber.
And what do you know? We got a couple haters.
I will admit, I hated these people at first when I first started watching NXT, but they've really come around.
Tears run down the back of your head to avoid your face, they don't.
That's a great line.
No, the one he said to Devon is much better.
Play no games! Devon, I see the way you're staring at us. Well, let me tell you something. You want to play games? I'll connect for that dome piece. I got the gift of gab and the gift of jab. And I'll put that lazy eye right back to work.
And he had a great reaction to it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Probably because he was legit pissed.
That's the best burn I've probably heard on a wrestling promo. That crowd is eating at the palm of their hands in this one.
Yeah.
Listen up, bub. You better think twice. It'd be two more thoughts than you had all day. Fall back like your hairline.
Fall back like your hairline.
He should have opened with the Bubba Ray and then closed with the Devon. That was Devon was stronger.
Day, breakfast like IHOP. Hit you in a haymaker, pancaker, and drop you like a deuce.
I'm telling you, like, just
come on, that's amazing.
Like, such good promo work.
I mean, even though it is the Raw after Mania, so there's a lot of European fans there, still, he got them eating out of the palm of his hand.
You know what's funny? A couple years ago,
so how about you come down to this ring and do something about it?
They do get the Jersey accent down right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you hear when you go to Seaside.
Enzo is from Jersey. And then Cass is from New York.
Oh, here we go. I love Bubba. Yeah, let's go. Heard enough from the upstarts,
Enzo and Cass. Not sure they want to take on that mat.
Playing the heels perfectly, as they know how to. Dudley boys are masters at heels.
Yeah, they've always been.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, Enzo's from Hackensack.
There's only one word to describe you, and I'm gonna spell it out for you. S-A-W-F-T.
That's just amazing.
You can just tell they're having fun, those two.
That's you happening. Have the entire audience eating out of the palm of your hand like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And again, people who weren't NXT fans and didn't know much about them were commenting on this debut like with glowing reviews.
Yeah, they were awesome. I'm so excited that they're on the main Raw. I just hope that they don't end up like the Ascension.
I think they're needed for...
Oh, my God, you're right. I hope they don't end up like the Ascension, a.k.a. the Legion of Doom ripoff.
Well, that's because JBL and Cole just shit on them as soon as they debuted.
Yeah.
Like, it's not how you put people over.
To be fair, though, I think it's partially just, they're like, hey, have JBL play someone just offended by the fact that they're ripping people that JBL was friends with.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you don't, you know, run them into the ground like that. And Cole should have been a lot more excited and, you know, surprised for those two. Yeah. So, but he blocked me on Twitter, so I can't tell him that.
Why did he block you on Twitter?
Because Lillian Garcia... whenever she messed up calling the Usos Grammy Award winners instead of Slammy Award winners, Cole wouldn't shut up about it. So I just tweeted at Michael Cole. I said, hey, Michael Cole, at least Lillian Garcia can tell the difference between Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. And he blocked me.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you mentioned it, because during the women's match, at WrestleMania, Cole kept screwing up the women's names.
Yeah!
I don't know if you saw that.
I
don't know if anyone else
too.
Saw this, because whenever... Charlotte was going after Becky Lynch, or Becky Lynch was fighting back, he was saying, oh, Sasha. He called Becky Lynch Sasha Banks plenty of times.
He's a moron.
I noticed that even as my attention was split between that and Negan time on The Walking Dead.
Michael Cole's the worst. Like, you had this again, proud moment of bringing back the women's championship, and you can't get the participants' names right.
Yeah.
Even if they don't want to give us the amazingness that would be Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo on the same team, switch Cole with Renee Young and let her commentate.
I just wish JR didn't have to get shoved out of there.
Yeah. Ric Flair and his boozing led to that.
Yeah. JR would have been awesome with some of these NXT guys coming up. Yeah.
This whole weekend has just been like me really missing Jim Ross in the commentary.
We've now six wrestlers from NXT debuted in the last couple of days on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn already debuted, so that's one. But so you had Baron Corbin debuting and winning.
No, I'm sorry. I'm with Lucidi. Boring Corbin.
No, Baron Snorbin. But
regardless, bowl of shit.
All right. Baron Corbin has his own emoticon. It looks like a pile of either shit or chocolate pudding. But so he debuted. Enzo and Cass debuted. Apollo Crews debuted, which just surprised people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Vaudevillains debuted at the SmackDown tapings.
Which, that's another tag team that I worry about. I don't know how they're translate
great,
over
but...
to... Well, I mean, but the NXT crowd eats them up. I don't know how they're going to translate over to the main roster. Especially, why debut them on SmackDown?
Yeah,
does that mean that they're not that confident in them if they don't debut on Raw? Or are they making them debut on SmackDown to give people a reason to watch SmackDown? Because
that's
SmackDown's
true.
Just a Raw recap show. That's
or
all
that,
it is.
Or that new announcer. I bet that new announcer puts them over.
Yeah, he will.
Oh, he'll be awesome with it. I bet.
Yeah. Ranallo is fantastic.
What's his name?
Mauro Ranallo.
Mauro Ranallo.
He used to do a lot of like
MR. I'm gonna just call him MR.
He used to do a lot of mixed martial arts stuff, and he did for a while the English language commentary for New Japan.
He knows what he's talking about.
Oh yeah,
he makes me care about the matches and the stories. So he could be the next JR
if they let him.
Yeah,
like what I love about SmackDown's commentary team too is Mauro Ranallo has forced King to go back into the role of being the heel commentator, which I think King is great as.
King's
which
way
is what's
better.
Making SmackDown somewhat watchable now.
Yeah,
King's way better King. As a heel.
Like, and that's the thing, too. Like, King as a heel is much better. Like, when he's a face, he just doesn't know what to do, and he just falls back to being creepy during Divas matches.
Yeah, and I don't think you need three people on each announce team. I think it's just two. It's,
yeah.
But
get rid of Byron Saxton.
Yeah, sad pants Byron Saxton.
All right.
And
so I want to close out the show tonight with just saying this. As much as we criticize the show, WrestleMania is still WrestleMania weekend.
Yep.
It's a great weekend for professional wrestling. Now, whether WWE saying 101,000 when really it's 94, they still sold out AT&T Stadium in Texas.
Broke
so
a record.
Mm-hmm. They still broke an all-time attendance record for a pro wrestling event. NXT is getting people interested in watching professional wrestling. You had the Hall of Fame. Really, the Hall of Fame is pretty serious. It's taken pretty seriously now, the WWE Hall of Fame. A great weekend in pro wrestling.
Hey, the WWE Hall of Fame is going to have a physical location soon.
In Orlando, I think, at Universal.
I thought that was a rumor.
No, it's real. They're making an attraction at Universal,
they're
I believe.
Taking out the NBA thing, and they're putting WWE Hall of Fame physical location.
Right, because who cares about basketball?
Not me, unless it's Space Jam.
Your final
Ben,
thoughts.
You hit him high.
Yeah.
Guys, your final thoughts on this weekend.
I mean, the actual WrestleMania was a letdown, but the Hall of Fame was great as always. Cause it's the Hall of Fame. You get like great stories from older wrestlers and then just fun moments. I mean, the Warrior Award was good the first year with Conor the Crusher. I think that was awesome, but Joan London getting it kind of reeks of just, hey, Linda wants to run for office again. But NXT TakeOver was great. WrestleMania was mad, but the Rothermania, not one of the better Rothermanias, but still a highlight.
Yeah.
Adam, your thoughts on this whole weekend of pro wrestling?
This weekend was great because I feasted like a king, like I always do. I had pigs in a blanket. I had some cupcakes. I had some barbecue chips and some nice quesad dip. And some scallops wrapped in bacon. And then the wrestling was there.
Again, great weekend of pro wrestling. WWE showing that there is still a global market for this form of entertainment, regardless of what people may say about the 90s being so much better. There's still a market for pro wrestling. Big ups to the NXT talent and the people who debuted at WrestleMania weekend and Monday Night Raw. It was great to watch. Adam, your Twitter, Adam Lucidi, where are you going to be? Where are your next shows?
This weekend I'll be upstate in New York at Delfino's on Friday. Saturday I will be somewhere in Wayne, New Jersey for a fundraiser. Sunday I'll be at Tierney's in Montclair. Just follow me on Twitter. You can see all the show dates and stuff like that.
And be sure to watch his Twitter feed on Monday Night Raw because it's a very fun read.
Yeah.
Punchy, at Hipster Punchy. Shows, upcoming shows.
Nothing scheduled yet. I had two
great
this past
plug.
Weekend, though.
But follow at Hipster Punchy on Twitter, and I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. Just follow me because I just tweet about a bunch of nonsense.
And Hammy also falls for guns taped to people's backs.
Yes. This has been Brains to Wrestling. Adam, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
Again, at Adam Lucidi, at Hipster Punchy, at Hams Gruber. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been Brains to Wrestling. See ya next week.
How you doing?